It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, good morning. A happy Monday, everybody. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos behind the glass. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program.
Jiffy Lube is what I'm calling it.
Yeah, that's what we're calling it. We have a finals game two to get to, a really impressive win from Oklahoma City. And I want to zoom out and have a Tyrese Halliburton discussion, because it wouldn't be the 2024-2025 NBA playoffs without a discussion about Tyrese Halliburton's place in the pantheon of active NBA players. We'll get to that, and we'll have some other King stuff. We've got a sprinkle of NFL news to get to. But I went into the trade machine and did some work, because as you know on this program, James, if you have a trade idea, we want to hear it. An NBA trade idea. Kings specifically.
Yeah, don't just give us like a four-team trade that doesn't include the Kings. We're like,
Honestly, I don't even want a four-team trade that does include the Kings.
The four-team trade, yeah. We'll have to get out the whiteboard.
Email us that one. Don't try and do that one on the phone.
Just 916. Send it to me.
Yeah, send it to Joe. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia Talk line. You can hit us up anytime. Phone lines are open. I believe, Joe, are the phone lines open? Phone lines are open. Phone lines
absolutely.
Are now open.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. And my trade in the trade machine, which I'm very proud of, I'm really excited to talk about it, might have been derailed this morning by the Cleveland Cavaliers, who announced that Darius Garland had toe surgery. He's out 4 to 5 months.
Yes.
Which is a big deal, and we'll talk about that. We're not going to talk about that up top, but we'll get more in depth into it when we get to our trade machine idea. They called it the great toe. I've never heard of this in my life.
Like, it's
That's
ridiculous.
Your big toe.
It's your big toe.
It's the thumb of the foot. What are we talking about? Your great toe?
Great toe.
Look, here, if you're going to do something like that, when he has a big toe injury, you call it the big toe, or you call it whatever the very technical doctor name for it is.
Yeah, there has to be a very specific name, right? Do we know?
I'm on the big toe Wikipedia right now. It's called the hallux. H-A-L-L-U-X.
Okay.
The hallux, also called the big toe. It's the innermost toe. Normally called the big toe. This is how the Wikipedia page works. These are blah, blah, blah. Hang on. Oh, I'm on the whole toe. This is just toes in general. But yeah, there's different tarsals on there, right? There's the distal phalanges, the intermediate phalanges, that's like the middle joint. And then there's the proximal phalanges. Oh no, I'm sorry. The proximal phalanges are the middle one on the big toe. Like, There are so many things you could have called this instead of the great toe.
I know.
This is like the person, the PR person or the comms person who wrote this is the only person in the universe that uses great toe instead of big toe. And they put that in there and just fired it off. Not a single person went, hey, just call it the big toe or the hallux.
Are you talking about the big toe? Well, yeah, the great toe. You're like, no one calls it that.
It's insane. The big toe. World War I was called the Great War before there was a Second World War, and we needed to rename the Great War World War I because it was like, oh, there's a second one.
Yeah.
World War I was supposed to be the war to end all wars, and then there was just another one 30 years later.
Yeah.
So they called it the Great... You can't have the Great War and the Great Toe. These things don't add up. I'm flummoxed by this.
Okay.
I'm going to spend the rest of the offseason trying to get to the bottom of this. I have people who work for the Cavs. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to find out who is responsible for these, and then I'm going to reach out to that person and find out the deal with Great Toe. But either way, Darius Garland, because of his big toe surgery... We'll be out 4 to 5 months, which is a pretty big deal, and it doesn't really affect the Kings except for in my fake trade.
Okay. I'm with you. I mean, it reminds me of It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, which is one of the worst Charlie Brown, like seasonal movies. It is. It's one of the worst. So, yeah, I don't. It could have been called It's the Big Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, but it's the Great Pumpkin.
It's the Great, which makes sense in that context, using great makes sense.
Yeah, what is like the fourth toe over then? Is it like the...
It's just
the
kind of toe.
The meh toe.
It's the great toe, the good toe, the decent toe, the below average toe.
The below average toe. The hooked toe.
And then there's the little toe, or in Cavs parlance, the weak ass toe.
The weak ass toe.
It's a trash toe over there. Insane. All right.
Weird. Game. Weird.
We'll talk more about Darius Garland. Hopefully less about his toes coming up here in a bit.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's Toe Talk on the Insiders. That's Jim Sam. I'm Kyle Madsen. Toe Brazil behind the glass, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
Oh, no. The great toe
Brazil. I love it. I love it. That's too good.
Man. Game two of the NBA Finals last night was a boat racing. It was what I sort of expected to see from OKC all series, where they jump out to a big lead and then never really let the Cavs back into it. They got it to 20 plus at one point, and the Cavs cut it to 13, but then OKC immediately got it back up to 18. They just kind of put a stranglehold on the game in the way we've seen all season. And Indiana, despite their heroics and their late game magic throughout the postseason, never hit the gas, or were never able to hit the gas. I think they tried.
Yeah.
There was just more urgency from Oklahoma City, and I was wondering, and I was really impressed by the Thunder, because that game one happened, and I thought there's two directions this can go. This can turn into Oklahoma City folds because they got punched in the jaw for the first time really all year.
Yep.
In the biggest spot. Or they come back, and that was a hit in the face that wakes them up. And they go, hey, we're here, we're back, we're Oklahoma City, we need to execute better. And I thought they executed a lot better. They got to 50-50 balls, they were better on the boards, they were just, they played a better game, and game two went a lot like I thought the entire series would go. And now this puts me in a spot where I wonder if this is how the rest of the series is going to go.
I'm not convinced. I mean, I do think that there's something about home court advantage. Mm-hmm. There's also something like, I don't know if you heard the stat while we were watching the game yesterday, but OKC only lost two games in a row twice all season.
Jeez.
They never lost three in a row.
I mean, when you only lose 14.
But yeah, I mean, they never lost three games in a row. I mean, this team is crazy, absolutely bonkers how good they were and how consistent they were. And so for me, I think that there was always going to be a bounce back. I think, you know, we see here in the chat, Aldrin J said it's the most predictable game ever. I agree 100%.
Felt that way.
I knew that going into that game that was going to be a 20-point, 15-point, 20-point mm-hmm. win by OKC, and I thought it could even be worse than that. Yep. They came out, they played with force, they played with the right intensity for the moment.
Yep.
But now they got to go back to Indiana, and I'm not sure that the carryover will be there. I think this is still going to be a series. And
yeah, yeah, I don't. I've let go of the rope on what I think of this series.
Yeah,
because I predicted a Thunder sweep that went away after one game. Mm-hmm. And no, but I said this to Damian when I was on D'Lo and KC on Friday, that was how I thought the game was going to go. I thought Oklahoma City was just going to kind of control it, because there's a push pull in these series where you just get a feel for, oh man, road team snuck in and won game one. Well, they've done their job now.
Yeah.
And they can, as they're walking off the court, all they want, go, okay, time to get greedy. Come on. Like, you also know, all right, we did it. We did what we came here to do.
Yep.
We got one. And you want to win game two, but now Oklahoma City's back's against the wall. You can't go down 2-0. So now they're going to come out and they're going to play with a ton of force, and Indiana just couldn't quite match it. And I'm with you. I think this is still going to be a series, but if Oklahoma City comes out, they could play this exact same way. I didn't see anything that happened in game two that made me go, oh, well, Indiana just didn't hit shots, or this didn't happen. There was nothing out of the ordinary that happened in that game.
Yeah.
So what we've seen now is Oklahoma City in 96 minutes of basketball dominate for 93 minutes.
Yeah.
And that is where I get a little bit worried, where, okay, I'm really hoping Indiana punches back here, which history this postseason tells us they will.
Yep.
But I am deeply concerned after watching yesterday and Oklahoma City just kind of going, okay, well, they didn't even change their starting lineup. They didn't do anything dramatically differently. They just said, we're going to play the same game, and their role guys hit shots, and they did the Oklahoma City thing and dominated at home.
Yeah, when I was watching, though, I think that, number one, they learned how to take away Tyrese, and I also, like, they limited him greatly. He had 5 turnovers, a bunch of jump passes that were intercepted, just a bunch of lazy passes. And while I was watching it, I kind of got the feeling, though, that you could sense that the Pacers are like, all right, we're not getting this one. Mm-hmm. In like the mid-second quarter, they're like, oh, yep, we're not getting this.
Yep.
So, you know, we're not going to start doing a bunch of different things to show different looks. We're going to save that for game three, and all of a sudden we'll be able to pull out one or two different plays, one or two different looks that they're not ready for, mm-hmm, and make adjustments. But we're not going to waste our adjustments in this game, because that game felt like, man, I don't think you're going to win that game from the start. But also, once you're in it, you're like, okay, their 12-point or 15-point lead in this game does not feel like the same that they had the game before, where it was like it fluctuated between 9 and 13 forever. That's not what this was. This felt like a team that had their thumb on top of your head and pushing you down the entire time.
Yep.
And there wasn't going to be like a run. They were too intense.
Yeah, when they cut it to 13 late in the first half, when the Pacers cut the lead to 13, I went, oh, here they are. Here come the Pacers. They're going to keep this around 12 or 13 the rest of the way and then try and push it. And it just never, like you said, the thumb on the head is a perfect explanation or a perfect metaphor for what happened. It was a dominant performance from the best team in the league.
It felt like they had a great thumb on their head.
Yeah, it sure did.
A great thumb.
The great finger
on top of their head, pushing them down.
How good was Shea, man? 34 points, 11 of 21 from the field, 5 boards, 8 assists, 4 steals, a block.
Yeah.
12 free throws.
I think the craziest thing for me is that I looked it up. He scored 25 or more in 15 of their 18 playoff games.
Good.
And he's got 30 or more in 13 of their 18 playoff games. It's just the consistency. Like every single game, you can write with pen like 32 points plus.
Mm-hmm.
And like his ability to deliver, even though everyone knows that's what's coming, like that's the crazy thing. Like you know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if you can't stop that, It's just like, it's really crazy.
His ability to just get to his spot and then just create a little bit of space.
Oh, yeah.
He hits so many tough shots down the stretch. He hits so many shots where it was not teetering, but it was at the point where, man, if Indiana gets a stop and makes a three, this starts to get interesting. And every single time it got to that point, Shea hit a tough shot. At least it felt like it.
Yeah, it really does feel like he's the superstar version of Joe Johnson, ISO Joe, or of DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just the superstar version. Like, the version that's just slightly better.
A little more impactful,
And those guys are both probably Hall of Famers. I think Joe Johnson might get there, maybe not. But that's what they feel like. They feel like players that just, you know, that when you need a big shot, they're going to come through. They're going to figure out a way to get in isolation and deliver. And, you know, I don't know. He just feels inevitable.
Yeah, man. And when he's going to go for 34, and I think you made a great point too, and then you're going to get 20 from Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
And you're going to get 18 from Aaron Wiggins, and they're going to combine to go 9 of 16 from 3. You're not beating Oklahoma City when that happens.
No, that's the sneaky thing about them. They always have that possibility of one or two of these guys popping up and hitting you for 15 to 20 off the bench.
Yep.
And I think the Pacers have the same exact type of player that can come in off the bench and do that. But what we're seeing right now is the established 1-2-3 of OKC, and then some other random guy that you're not expecting. So Cason Wall scores like 4 points, but is super impactful defensively. Mm-hmm. And then these other two come off the bench and just, you know, go crazy on you.
And if it's not Alex Caruso and Aaron Wiggins, it could be Isaiah Joe. It could be Jalen Williams. It could be Lu Dort. They just come at you in waves. And game two went how I thought the entire series might go.
Yeah.
So really interested to see game three. Excited for game three. I expect Indiana to... I don't think OKC is going to roll again. I think that Indiana is going to come out swinging. It's just a matter of whether that matters.
Yeah. You know, I would agree. Yeah. I could see like an 8-point win.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for OKC. Sure. Yeah.
Well, we'll keep diving into that. I want to talk about Tyrese Haliburton some more, though, because I'm trying to come up with a comp for him, because he's a weird type of star who's very, very impactful, but you have to like watch and you can't look outside the box, or you have to look outside the box score sometimes. Yesterday was a weird game for Tyrese Haliburton right after he had just elevated himself to the realm of superstar. It felt like he took a tumble out of that tier yesterday, and he's just going to kind of continue fluctuating. Like, he's that middle point. I want to talk about that.
Okay.
We got that. We've got our Kings trade that may or may not be affected by Darius Garland's great toe. We'll get to that. And we got a sprinkle of NFL news that we'll drop in here for you as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil is the producer of this program. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James over there. Joe Brazil behind the glass. I'm Kyle. So, it wouldn't be a Pacers game reaction day without talking about Tyrese Halliburton's place in the NBA hierarchy.
Of course.
Because we were talking about, at the break on YouTube, at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Hello, everybody watching there. Hello, everybody in the chatty house. Also, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, if you'd like to join us there. We were talking about Joe Johnson. And you'd kind of mention, like, man, is he going to get in the Hall of Fame? And kind of, I think Joe Johnson's the line, right? If you're better than Joe Johnson, you can go to the Hall of Fame. If you're worse, you don't. Tyrese Halliburton feels like he's on that same line between star and superstar, whatever it is. Because I think in game one, you saw him impact a game and hit a game winner in such a way that you go, man, that is one of the 10 best players in the league.
Yep.
You can't look at the box score. The box score is not going to pop like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's 34-5-8 in game two. But, man, you watch the game and you just see the way he controls everything and manipulates defenses. And man, he's so good. And then, despite the fact that he's not going to be a primary scorer game in and game out, he's the guy who says, I'm taking the ball. I'm taking the last shot. And he finishes the game with 0.3 seconds left and the game winner and all that jazz. But then you go to game two. And in game two, he finishes with 17 points. But through three quarters, he had five.
Yeah. When it mattered.
He had 5 points for three quarters. In the first half, he's 1 of 5 from the field with 3 points. In the third quarter, he goes 1 for 2 from the field with 1 point. 2 points. And he has 5 going into the fourth, and then in the fourth he has 12, but they were largely meaningless points. His over-under was 16.5, by the way. He made a 3 to get it to 17 and then immediately came out of the game. Just,
wow.
Just noting that.
Jonte Porter somewhere going, what?
I mean, there are people in my house going, what? But, no, man, this is why it makes it tough to just, with your whole chest, go, Tyrese Halliburton is a top 10 player in the league. Because he came out in game two and was just like, not impactful. To me, a top 10 player is a guy, regardless of box score, regardless of watching the game, whatever it is, they're going to have an impact in that game. On a game in, game out basis, you know what you're going to get. And then you get games like this from Tyrese Halliburton that just make me question everything I thought after game one.
I get that, but at the same time, like, this is one of the greatest defenses we've seen in the last, like, 20-something years.
Good point.
Right? And they have every player in the world that you can just throw at Tyrese Halliburton.
No doubt.
They are grabbing and clawing at him the entire game. There is somebody who literally has a handful of his jersey everywhere he goes on the mm-hmm. court. You can just watch him being traced. And so for me, he's got to figure out how to get loose. Mm-hmm. They've got to do a lot more screens, which is something that they don't do a lot of. They mm-hmm. do a lot of, their pick and roll is more of a slip pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it almost always, Turner is rolling to the basket, mm-hmm. like, before he even really sets the screen. He's there, and then
he's just kind of lightly getting in the way.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like a Domantas Sabonis, like, you're hung up and you can't get loose.
Yeah,
and
you might hurt somebody.
Yeah, yeah. And you're sitting there stuck for, like, 8 seconds, you're out of the play. The play is over for you. Domantas Sabonis hit you.
Right.
Yeah, so for me, I think that that's going to be one of the true changes that we're going to see in the next game. We're going to start seeing a lot more screens and double screens to free up Halliburton, because if he's floating around and loose, either as an offensive weapon to score the ball or as a passer, then you're toast. Mm-hmm. And so that's what right now OKC is trying to do. Now it's like, okay, the chessboard is live. What is Rick Carlisle got for him?
Yeah. I think just at some point, like I said, I say this fully understanding, knowing that so much of what Halliburton does is assisting teammates, setting up teammates. Mm-hmm. I don't have the hockey assist numbers in front of me, but I'm sure he gets several hockey assists by manipulating a defense, kicking to one guy to get an open three in the corner off a swing. I also think, though, there's an element of being a superstar where when your team needs it, you hit the gas.
Yeah, I get it.
And score the basketball. And he didn't do that until the game was largely over yesterday in the fourth quarter. And that's I think, where some people get hung up with Tyrese Halliburton. There's more to the game than just points. But at the same time, it's really, really hard to put a player, because, again, when you're talking superstar, you're talking LeBron James, mm-hmm. Steph Curry, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nikola Jokic. That's the type of player you're talking about. And Tyrese Halliburton has more games with 11 or fewer points than he does games with 30 points in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's wild. So I think here's a question I'd ask, though, when we're like gauging somebody in this type mm-hmm. of situation, like when you're in the playoffs, shouldn't you be better than you were in the regular season?
Typically, yeah.
Should that be the standard that we're going to hold them? Like, that not only do you need to be consistent, and you can even be consistently great, but on top of that, we expect you to elevate over what you have been in the past, right? Like,
sure.
When you're up against the toughest competition, I could make the argument very easily that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was a better player in the regular season than he is in the postseason. And, you know, he's averaging 30.4 versus 32.7. He's shooting 31.
He's still averaging 30 a night, though. It's not like he's folding in the playoffs.
No. But my point is that we should see some sort of elevation. So it's not just in like ballpoint pen. You can basically tattoo 30 points down for Shai,
mm-hmm.
like on the scorecard, right? So we should expect more from him as well. And I think he's been great. I'm not saying that,
mm-hmm.
but I also like, we need to make sure that we're holding, you know, the tie to the same standard, or we're holding Shai to the same standard, because you're going to have bad games. And especially in a series where they have like 14 different looks they can throw at you and try to take you away, and your teammates have to be better, and they've got to be the reason why you're loose. So I don't know.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has 3 games with fewer than 25 points in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. He's been great.
He's been
consistent.
I haven't watched. I've watched Indiana, and multiple times, not 20.
Yeah.
It hasn't been 20 games. Not 10, but 4 times, 5 times, been like, man, you really want more from Halliburton here. He's going to be the best player. He's the 1A on this team. Like, God, I'd like a little more from him. I have never watched the Thunder this year and gone, needed more from Shai there.
No, but
he's had some bad games. He's had some stinkers, to be sure.
My point would be the reverse is, while I've seen Shai consistently score 30, 32 almost mm-hmm. every single night, I've also watched Halliburton go beyond, above and beyond anything that anyone expected, and come away with, what is it, 5 game winners or 5 like
okay.
final second shots?
And that's where and that accelerates us to the other side of this. How much does the game to game matter if you're the guy that in the final seconds of a tight game, everybody knows that you're taking the shot and everybody feels like you're gonna make it?
Yeah.
And this gets back to the argument that people have been having since Skip Bayless said LeBron James didn't have the clutch gene, right?
Mm.
Like this gets back. It's just the other side of that. It's, I mean, we talk about it with Domantas Sabonis, for example. just to bring it to Sacramento here. We go, oh, man, I say we. People in general go, oh, well, I mean, hey, the numbers are great, but hey, playoff success hasn't had that. It's that focus on a singular moment. And with LeBron freaking James, a consensus, I don't want to start a LeBron argument.
Top five
player of all time.
Yep.
Who has ever put on an NBA uniform. And for a long time, people still go, yeah, but he doesn't want to take the last shot. And I think there's such an outsized value in that. That if you just know that a player, Tyrese is what, 10 of 12 on go-ahead or game-winning shots with five or fewer seconds left or whatever the insane stat is for him this year?
Yeah.
And just, I think that elevates him where games like last night where he only has 5 points through three quarters and he was just largely not impactful, you go, okay, well, you sweep it under the rug because, man, if game three is close, everybody knows Ty is going to take and make the winner. There's such a singular focus on that moment in the playoffs. Okay, now let's whittle it down. Final seconds, tie game, 1 point game.
Yeah.
And he's just the man in the biggest moment, which I think helps elevate his status beyond, oh, he's scored fewer than 11 points this many times or whatever it is.
Yeah. Someone in the chat, I think it was Russ Dog. Is Halliburton Robert Horry great moments in playoffs, not in regular season? No.
He's way better than Robert Horry.
Yeah. So the difference is, Russ Dog, so like all the focus, every single bit of the focus mm-hmm. is on Tyrese Halliburton. If you mm-hmm. can stop and force him to be a turnover machine and bully him, then you're going to beat the Indiana Pacers. That's been proven. That's mm-hmm. that's how you beat them. Robert Horry was like the seventh best player on all of the seven championship teams he was on.
Yeah.
And that in some of those situations, that's being generous.
Yeah.
The seventh best player. But he did hit a bunch of big shots. Ty hits, like, I don't remember a player hitting five shots like this.
Just insane.
Just, yeah. Like the one shot that, the crazy one that shoots way up in the air, that one forced overtime. But mm-hmm. all of the other ones are full-fledged game winners.
Drove around Giannis.
Beat Giannis to the cup.
Beat Giannis to the basket to win that series.
Yep.
You had the rebound and the run out for three against the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
There was the game one against the
OKC.
Knicks.
Oh.
And then the winner against OKC.
Yeah, I mean, his flair for the dramatic is just nuts. So if there is such a thing as a clutch gene, Tyrese Halliburton has like two of them.
Is Tyrese Halliburton Eli Manning?
You wrote this in the rundown. I'm like, yeah, all right.
I don't. I think Eli Manning's a bad. It's not an apples to apples comparison, but Eli Manning's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame, despite being 117 and 117 as a starting quarterback.
He has
a 500 record as a starting quarterback, but he went 8-4 in the playoffs. The only time Eli Manning won a playoff game was the two times he won the Super Bowl.
That's wild.
He went 4-0 in those two Super Bowl runs and was 0-1 in his other 4 playoff trips.
That's crazy.
But we know Eli Manning for the David Tyree helmet catch and the sick-ass throw to Mario Manningham in the second one against the Patriots, in the second Super Bowl.
And if you're really looking at Eli, in an era of great quarterback play,
mm-hmm.
he is probably year in and year out like the 20th best quarterback.
That's where the comparison falls apart for me, because Tyrese Halliburton is legitimately putting up really good numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
almost 18 and a half points, 9 assists. He led the league in assists last year with 10.9. The year before that, he was at 10.4. The year before that with Indiana, he was at 9.6 and finished year at 8.2. Like he's putting up numbers.
Yeah.
And last year he averaged 20 a game. The year before that he averaged 20 a game. He's been an all-star twice. He was all NBA. Eli Manning was never an all-pro. He was a Pro Bowler four times in 16 years. In a league where everybody gets into the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I have like three Pro Bowl appearances.
Yeah, you do. Congratulations, by the way. That's awesome. Where he led the league statistically was in interceptions three times. He never led the league in like yards or touchdowns or completion rate. He was statistically pretty mid. So like I said, that might be an insult to Tyrese Halliburton saying he's Eli Manning, but it works a little bit the same way where nobody cares about Eli Manning's stats. Nobody looks at Eli Manning and go, yeah, but hey, man, that interception, 3% interception rate for his career, like, ooh.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. But everybody know, hey, man, he beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. He beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. And I kind of wonder if that's the road Tyrese Halliburton's going down, where, again, better player in the regular season, all-star, all-NBA type of player, but never reaches that killer 30 points a game. I bet he doesn't. What do you think he maxes out at, Tyrese? 21 a game?
24, maybe. There's a season where he's got like 24.
Yeah, he's never going to be that guy who's just dominating statistically.
Yeah.
But everybody knows, hey, can't count out the Pacers because of Tyrese Halliburton. And I think that matters a lot.
Yeah, and it's something, like when we were coming into this discussion, when we're watching these two teams play, I'm watching the Thunder and thinking, oh, this is the beginning of something great. This could be, again, they could be in the finals like 5 to 7 times in the next decade, right? They could win an NBA championship 4 or 5 times. That's like you're watching like the beginning of something spectacular, and the beginning of it, they probably will win a title right now.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm watching the Pacers, I just don't feel that way at all. Like this could be the only time the Pacers ever make it to the NBA Finals. And I shouldn't think that because they made it to the Eastern Conference Championship twice in a row and they've earned their spot here. I'm not saying that. But when you go on a run, and the fact is they needed 5 times for Tyrese Halliburton to go win a game.
How sustainable is what he's doing this year?
Well, how sustainable is it? Like when, like he's got to, if that's who they're going to be, and you're going to live and die by that type of play. Sure, you got the dude with the clutch gene for sure. But but how many times is that going to? Are you going to be able to get to a point where you have a moment where you can hit a game winner?
Sure.
And the fact that they've had 5 of them this season, it, just in itself, where the potential for a hit or miss is wild. The fact that he's hit them all is even crazier.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start looking around like, okay, can they keep doing this? And it and again, I love some of their young talent, like the Neesmith and Nembhard and Mathurin. Like all those guys, I do have faith that they'll improve and get better as players. Even Tyrese Halliburton isn't that old.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also going, okay, like the real Boston Celtics feel like they could have beat this team, not the team that that fell apart in the playoffs this year. You know, again, the Knicks are going to reload. Are they going to be able to beat this team? So I don't have the same like vision of that team being here every single year that you probably should.
Yeah, I feel the same way. They played, to your point, they played 18 games and they've had 5 insane comebacks.
Yeah.
And they were down 20 in the second half. Like, no, they were down, was it Milwaukee? They were down 10 with 57 seconds left.
It's like 14 with 90 seconds left to come back.
Right, it's just ridiculous. And again, I keep, after one, it's like, well, they can't do that again. After two, well, they can't do that again. Going into the series against Oklahoma City, I went, they can't do that again. And then they're down 9 with 2:52 left and just churn their way back in and win it.
It's the reverse of when the Kings kept losing to the worst teams in the league, and you're like, well, that's not going to happen again. And you're like, man, how do you lose to, what was it, the Blazers, Charlotte,
Detroit,
Washington? I think we just, like, all of them.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, how do you do that? And then we're watching the reverse of it, a team that just continuously beats teams that, like, again, the graphic chart of lead changes and predictability of
ridiculous
within a game, and just throw it out the window. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, they keep breaking win probability charts. Now, again, how sustainable is that? No idea. But it is super fun for this year. And this Tyrese Halliburton discussion isn't going away. And this isn't a Sacramento thing either.
No.
This isn't even about like, oh man, should they have traded him? Shit. Like they did. This is that's not even what this is about anymore. This is just a fascinating NBA story. And I would love to see what the discourse is if Indiana wins this series. It feels like Tyrese Halliburton's entire career arc is riding on whether they win this series or not. Because you're right, they may never get back to this point.
Yeah.
And Tyrese Halliburton's just the dude that averages 20 points and 10 assists and is out in the first or second round every year.
Yep.
In which case, we feel a lot differently about him and the Pacers. All right. I have a Kings trade idea that we need to get to.
Yep.
I feel great about it. We've also got a sprinkle of NFL news that I want to get to as well. That's all coming up. James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and it is Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento's sports leader.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle. He's James. That's Joe. When the music turns down, that's Joe. When you subscribe to the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show podcast, which you should be doing, it is the podcast version of this program. That's Joe. Uploading all those.
That's
right. Thank you.
You should subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. When you subscribe to the YouTube channel and you see clips from our show go up, that's Joe.
All right.
Much appreciated.
Also, shout out to everybody listening on the Free Odyssey app. Download the Free Odyssey app today. Search ESPN 1320. Favorite the station, and you can listen to us live anywhere around the world. There's also a ton of other great content on the Odyssey app. We're just partial to ESPN 1320. All right, before we get to my Kings trade idea, I want to get to some NFL news that may or may not pertain to the 49ers. A couple interesting players were released today. The Bengals released linebacker Jermaine Pratt, and the Packers released Pro Bowl corner Jaire Alexander. Let's start with Jaire Alexander, because that's the one I had written down first.
Yeah.
Jaire Alexander is a 28-year-old two-time Pro Bowler coming off a year where he only played seven games, coming off back-to-back years where he only played seven games. He's dealt with a knee injury that he said he was going to be able to play through, and then he wasn't. But in 2022, we're talking about a guy who was second-team All-Pro. In 2020, he was also a second-team All-Pro. This is the type of player that he has. In 2021, he played four games. 2023, he played seven. Last season, he played seven. This is a player who's dealt with injury stuff, but when he's good, he's really, really good. When he's healthy, he's really, really good.
Yeah, and he's still only 28. I mean, cornerbacks are usually good until they're, you know, 31, 32. They're a position that hold up,
typically.
I don't know. Like, if I'm the 49ers, I mean, you've brought in some young guys to play the position, but just having great depth at defensive back, I mean, wasn't there a season when the 49ers lost like every defensive back they had and they were on like their 14th and 15th defensive backs at one point? Not that many, but a lot. Yeah, I mean, this is a player that has a lot of skill, a lot of long-term productivity, and like if you can get him for cheap, I'm in.
Yeah, dude, and that's where you hit the nail on the head with this. I'm not saying the 49ers should give a four-year, $120 million deal to Jaire Alexander, get him in the building. No, give him a one-year, I don't want to say league minimum because I think there will be some kind of market for him. But you're not trying to spend big money. You're not trying to push a bunch of money into the future. You can sign into a one-year deal this year. It doesn't need to be void years. Give him $5, $6 million, whatever it's going to take to get him in your building, and maybe he gets hurt, and that's why you have the young players that you have. But to me, if you can get a veteran in the building, because the 49ers, their secondary right now is Diamador Lenore, good player. It's Renardo Green, who's a second-year player, second-round pick last year, played well as a rookie, but not earth-shattering like, oh my God, he's a future All-Pro, but he's good, looks like a starter. And then outside of that, you don't have a proven starter on your roster. You drafted Upton Stout in the fourth round?
Something like that.
Fourth round. Drafted Upton Stout in the fourth round. And he's really undersized, probably going to have to play in the slot. He played outside a little bit in college, but like there's I think he's going to be limited positionally a little bit.
Third round, number 100.
If you can get, that's right. Yeah, Nick Martin was the other third round pick. If you can get a veteran corner, a two-time All-Pro in your building, you do that. Like, this is the kind of move that if the Bills sign Jaire Alexander, everyone's going to be like, wow, Brandon Bean has done it again. The Eagles sign Jaire Alexander. Wow, Howie Roseman's done it again. Wow, look at him building out that depth and just getting all... Get him in your building. This doesn't have to be a constant... And this goes a little bit against... I have a thing on the 49ers need to get better players who are young, but we can do that later. Like you said, he's not a 35-year-old. He's a 28-year-old coming off a couple of injuries. You're going to get him for cheap. If you get him in your building and it works out, you might have an all-pro corner across from Diamador Lenore with Renardo Green, who is a bright young player in your secondary. If it doesn't work out, you still have all of the players that you had. Mm-hmm. Take a crack with an all-pro. You've spent no money this offseason for free agents. Brock Purdy got paid, George Kittle got paid, Fred Warner got paid, I got that. But you've not spent... Shell out a little to help a position that you need.
I'm in on both these guys, to be honest with you.
Yeah, let's talk about Jermaine Pratt.
Yeah, because like I think your depth at the linebacker position, like just look at their depth right now and say, how much are you relying on young players to be stars? And if you're overly relying on some of young players to hold down a position of great need... We saw what that team looked like without Greenwood last year, and was not good. You need to bolster that linebacker position. It's very possible they have a star there in the making in their young third round pick, right?
Yeah.
But if I can get a linebacker without having to give up draft compensation or future draft compensation, if I can get a defensive back without having to give up that same exact thing, and these players walk in the door and they're better than what I already have, and now I don't have to rely on a rookie to actually come through and make your team better, or a second year player. Mm-hmm. Like, this is big, especially when you look at the defensive end they picked up. Like, all of a sudden you're giving up a fifth round pick. Who was the defensive end they picked up from?
Michael Williams?
Yeah. No, from Philly.
Bryce Huff.
Yeah, Bryce Huff. If you add Bryce Huff, you add, again, Jermaine Pratt, you add Jair Alexander, all of a sudden your free agent pool for this year looks like middle of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not the worst in the NFL, but middle of the road. And like, okay, now you add that with all the cuts you made to save money. You add that with all of the players you retained for longer term deals, whether it's Kittle or, you know, like how many of their, or Fred Warner or Brock Purdy, you locked all those guys up. Mm-hmm. Now you spend get 1 or 2 year deals on these guys where you're not overextending yourself. That just makes way too much sense to bolster the depth of your team now. And then if somehow an offensive guard or an offensive tackle pops up, you still, don't they still have like $44 million right now?
Yeah, the money, financials under the salary cap are not a problem.
Yeah, you want to carry some of that over into next season for sure. But if you end up spending, you know, 18 or 20 million bucks here on the back end,
it wouldn't even be that.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. But I mean, if you just kept going, because I also think they need a wide receiver.
Yeah. So this is where the Jermaine Pratt thing is interesting. Because this is he started 34 games the last 2 years with Cincinnati, had 143 tackles last season, 6 pass breakups. But I don't think the 49ers, I think they would be interested in a Jair Alexander type of player, a veteran cornerback that they think they can get in the building and who could start for them right away, as long as he's healthy, right? If the medicals are a disaster and they don't think he's going to get on the field this year, then don't waste your time. But if he's healthy and he looks like he can play and he works out for you and you're like, man, hey, he looks really good, then yeah, sure. Jermaine Pratt, I'm more skeptical that they would go add, mostly because he was really, really good in 22.
Yeah.
I had to go look at that. I couldn't remember if his last year or a couple years ago. But he was really, really good in 22, like across the board, and looked like an ascending player. And since then, he's just never quite gotten back up to that production. And he struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think the 49ers are looking at their linebacker room, and they're going, Nick Martin, third round pick this year. D. Winters, a player that they really like, who was a sixth round pick a couple years ago, 2023. I think they're looking at Tatum Bethune, they drafted last year in the seventh round. I think they're looking at those guys and going, okay, they're going to compete for this Will linebacker spot, this starting, the Will linebacker, just for, if you're not familiar, there's the middle linebacker, that's the Mike, that's Fred Warner. He's on the field all of the time. Then you've got the Will linebacker, who is on the weak side, who is on the field all of the time. The Will linebacker is a three-down player. Then you've got the Sam linebacker, that's a strong side linebacker, who's only on the field in like base downs and in like run situations, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
They played 30-ish percent of the snaps. So the Will linebacker is the other starting spot. Like, that's the big one. And they know how valuable Dre Greenlaw was. That's why they tried, at the last second, they tried to get Dre Greenlaw back and tried to get him to back out of his agreement with the Broncos to come back to San Francisco. They saw, and you pointed out, how much they struggled when Devondre Campbell was on the field last year.
Oh, he was horrible.
Like, they were, and I think that's partly just because Devondre Campbell's not good at football, but you saw the impact it has on the 49ers defense, and it wasn't the only problem. Their defensive line stunk. I think their secondary struggled at times. They had some injuries on that side of the ball. Fred Warner was playing on a broken ankle for 13 weeks.
Yeah.
And he was still a first-team All-Pro. But that Will linebacker spot is just so, so vital, and I think it's why they gave D. Winters some burn there last year. I think it's why they're trying to get, they drafted Nick Martin specifically because Kyle Shanahan called him the best run and hit linebacker in the draft. They think he can be that type of player. So I think they're going to give those guys a chance before they bring in a Jermaine Pratt type, who should probably start for a team somewhere.
Yeah.
And if they want to bring him in as their third linebacker, if he can play the Sam spot, okay. But that's the kind of move I don't think they're going to make, because they want, okay, hey, there's some young players that we're excited about. We're going to let them cook. Whereas at cornerback, it's like, yeah, you got some young players you're excited about, but also it's a lot of question marks at a pretty vital spot.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going with an all-pro versus a guy like Jermaine Pratt, who's never even been a Pro Bowler, you have more Pro Bowl appearances than Jermaine Pratt. That's facts.
That's, yeah.
So I think that's where it wouldn't shock me at all if we heard the 49ers kick tires on Alexander. I'd be pretty surprised if they go after another linebacker, though. I think they like their room quite a bit.
I'm taking them all.
Like, whoever you can.
Just keep signing, guys.
I wouldn't hate it, man. It's not my money.
Yeah.
Yeah, go get as much depth as you can possibly get. All right. We got a second hour coming up. King's trade idea. I went through the trade machine. I worked it out. The money works. I threw in some picks. We'll see if I can fix the Kings in this one trade. We'll do that next in the second hour. That's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil is going to push the button. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!